Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Reed.
That would not actually be that weird because Shane Reed owning
spelled differently.
Is it R-E-I-D?
It's R-E-I-D, yeah.
Okay.
So
still, I still don't think it'd be that weird.
I wonder if the R-E-I-D reads and the R-E-E-D reads have a rivalry like the B-R-I-A-N's and the B-R-Y-A-N's.
First of all, if your name is B-R-Y-A-N, you are an alpha. And I don't mean that in a bad way to you, Brian.
Oh, is that not what you meant?
Brian Foods, Brooks Brian. I mean, I don't know what else to say there. There seems to be a trend. And I love you. I think you're awesome.
I think you're a great guy. A grown man who still goes by Robbie and not
what am I supposed to do? That was my given name, just like Brian was yours.
I'm just saying, as a grown man, maybe it's time to be Rob.
No, I'll never take
Bob.
That.
You know?
I will definitely never be a Bob.
Man, I don't know. I don't know.
And I can't be a Rob because there's only one Rob Falk. There is only one Big Daddy. So I'm stuck with this. I'm stuck with Robbie. Spelled the correct way, by the way.
Yeah. Well, wherever you are in our great state, if you want to enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning, it's just a click away. It's at Strange Brew Coffee House. .com.
Especially if you're over in West Point where Brian Foods was
used to be
so great.
They aren't there anymore though, but I'm still here.
Well, the name lives.
Does it? Can you go to the store right now and buy Brian Foods?
No, but we still talk about
Can you see Brian Haydad at the store? You absolutely can.
We still talk about there is an airfield named after George Brian.
There's a macaroni and cheese named after me.
Yeah, well, it's still the pecking order.
The pecking order? This is where the power lies around here, let me tell you.
On the show, maybe.
Hurt my feelings. All you do is hurt me. Why do you hurt me?
Look, I've always been loyal. I'm just a purveyor of truth. That's all I am here.
I wonder if Jacob Bain will be my next co-host. I don't know how that's going to work out. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. But that steak was good last night, that big old dinosaur steak, delicious. And you should be eating like that every day, and it's easy to do so. You just head to your grocery stores, your butchers, your meat markets, tell those guys, I want a steak today, and they'll cut one up for you, fresh, and you can enjoy a great meal. And if you don't want to cook, you just go around to any and all of our great steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. There's one in almost every community. They are easy to find, and they are not a place you want to miss. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are going to be looking for it. So get after it now. I mean, there's so many. You don't have to have a gift-giving holiday. I know Valentine's is coming up, but, man, just get yourself something cool from College Corner and wear it to the next Mississippi State game that you attend. Get a new polo. Get a new pullover, a hoodie. There's so much great stuff. It's right there for you at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch, the best meal in town. is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to enjoy a fantastic Valentine's Day meal, do it at Restaurant Tyler. So many great options on that menu. It'll make for a very special evening for you and yours. If you want to have a great meal literally any day of the week here in Starkville, it's easy to do so. You just got to go to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, it's important when you have questions about your money that you can get answers and get them quickly on your schedule. That's what you get, the level of service that you receive at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. So, as you know, if you're a longtime listener here to this podcast, Robbie and I are Los Angeles Lakers fans. And on Saturday, Robbie, one of the most shocking trades in the history of sports happened when the Lakers acquired Luka Doncic from the Mavericks for Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a future first round pick. I think it's 2031 is the pick. So you're talking 6 years down the road. Not that we're going to talk.
I saw this at like 5:45 in the morning, and I thought it was fake.
Yeah, I was awake. And not that we're going to talk too much about NBA, but I do want to point out, Robbie, we talked about this trade on Sports Talk Mississippi. Normally when we talk NBA, everybody's like real quick, like, ah, shut up. People were into this discussion because it's such a unique deal. Luka, if you're not an NBA fan, Luka is one of, I mean, you can make a case that he's the second best player in the league. You can make a true. I think Jokic is the best player in the league. And then Giannis.
If he was a really good defender, he would probably be the best player. Yeah.
Yeah. From an offensive standpoint, he's the closest thing to LeBron that we have. Defensively, he's not the same. But he's still an outstanding player. Players like this don't get traded. I saw a great analogy. If you're an NFL guy, it would be like the Bills trading Josh Allen to the Cowboys for Dak. I mean, that's a good analogy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I was in our group.
Maybe even worse than that, because Anthony Davis has been so injury riddled.
He has been injury prone, but so is Dak. I mean, that's why I think it works.
But so, he's only been, for the most part.
Yeah. Present. I was saying, like, in terms of what tier of player are they on, Dak is still a really good player, but he is not on the tier that Josh Allen is. Same with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, when he's healthy, really good player, but he's not Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
So I was in the group text, and I think Stefan put in there, holy bleep and bleep. And he said, I think Shams must have been hacked. So I go and look. If you don't follow, again, I know I'm making the assumption that a lot of you guys are not big NBA's guys, but Shams, and I may be butchering this, Shornaya is the – he is the NBA scoops guy. He's kind of
the new Woj.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I assume if they don't follow the NBA, they don't know who Woj is either. So he tweets that this deal is happening, and literally it's 100% that he's been hacked. People were like, literally, like, if you're going to hack him, make a realistic trade, right? Like, mm-hmm. I saw a really good point there. That if somebody had hacked him, they would have included Bronny.
Yeah.
Bronny would have been in the trade. Then you find out, nope, it's a real thing. And so I've consumed more NBA content in the last 48 hours than I had probably in the previous 2 months, just because I was trying to get perspective on this deal. And the overall perspective, and I'm getting to the point here, I promise. The overall perspective is this is a historic trade, and it is possibly the most surprising trade in the history of sports. I mean, it is literally like, we came up with it today on Sports Talk. We said, imagine if 2 years after they won the Super Bowl, the Saints traded Breeze for Julio Jones, an offensive lineman, and a third-round pick.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Well, and on top of that, I mean, like, they came out on Monday and said Jason Kidd didn't even know this trade was happening.
And the Mavericks approached the – it's not the Lakers were like, hey, could we possibly get you to talk to us about Doncic? The Mavs went to the Lakers and were like, he's on the market. What do you got? And they didn't shop him. Again, I don't want to go too far down into why this trade is so surprising, just to say that it is the most surprising, shocking trade in maybe not just NBA history, but maybe in the history of sports.
And I don't know any to compare.
No, I don't. I mean, normally when you have a big trade, you have an idea, right? Like when Durant got, or Durant was a free agent, but like when Anthony Davis went to the Lakers, we knew that Davis had told them, hey, I want out, and that the Lakers were a likely landing spot. When Kevin Garnett went to the Celtics, things like that, right?
Yeah.
This is totally out of nowhere.
We knew that the Lakers were going to get somebody when they got Pau Gasol. We knew that you knew
They
Pau Gasol was on the
were
market.
putting a deal together, right?
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do was this. We wanted to tie it to Mississippi State. So this is kind of an off-season-y kind of thing, but with the topic of Luka's trade coming up, it fits. We got the six, what we consider the most shocking moments, be it good or bad, in Mississippi State sports history. So I don't know that we're necessarily ranking these. I don't want to. We can rank them maybe when we're done. But, and guys, as always, if you can think of one that's a little more surprising, I've actually, I'm going to add one. So we're making it seven. I just came up with one, and we'll do it first so we can get it on here. But I don't know why we didn't think of that. So I've got seven events here. So let's just go through them. Number one is the one I just thought of, Robbie, but it needs to be on here. The game of change. Because you got to think, if you're living in Mississippi in 1963, and you find out that the Mississippi State basketball team has left the state under cover of darkness to go play in the NCAA tournament when they had been forbidden to do so the previous 5 or 6 years, that had to be like, they did what? That had to be one of those kind of moments, right?
Yeah, especially for the state legislature, I imagine.
Oh, can you imagine the governor woke up and said they went where?
Yeah,
To
but
play
was
who?
that Ross Barnett at the
I
time?
guess
I
so,
think.
probably.
It was vehemently shot down by the legislature over the years. I mean, we've talked about it before. What is Mississippi State basketball if they're allowed to go play in these tournaments? I mean, we're talking about probably at least one national championship during the Bailey Howell years.
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Those teams would have been national championship contenders, and they weren't allowed to go do that. Because as we know, that was the game of change came after the Bailey Howell years.
Right.
So this was not, this was some good Mississippi State teams, but not as good as the ones that came before them, I would say. And there's no telling what would happen, but certainly something that was probably, when you pick up the paper one day and you see Mississippi State's playing in East Lansing, Michigan, or where I think that's where it was,
Yeah.
in the NCAA tournament, I would imagine it was the story of the state
Yeah.
at the time.
Yeah. Like I said, just in terms, again, this is what we're trying to work with, is shock value. That had to be something because, obviously Mississippi State had to keep that a secret. That didn't get out, right? Because they would have been stopped. And so it sort of fits the same thing. Like this whole trade with Luka was nobody knew. Like only the top people in the Lakers and the Mavs knew that this trade was happening. Same thing there. My guess is the president of the university knew, the athletic director knew, Coach Babe McCarthy would have known, the players probably knew, and that was it.
What do you think? I guess I've never, looked into this, the repercussions of that.
I don't think there
Well,
ended up being any.
I mean, was state just like, all right, we're going to call their bluff.
Yeah, I think that's
What are they going to
exactly what
do
it
if we
was.
go?
Yeah, I
Are
think
we going to
that's
get
exactly what it
arrested?
was. And that's another thing. I'm surprised there's never. I know our friend Robbie Koblenz was part of the team that made a documentary about this, but I'm surprised there's never been a movie about it.
Paul was a part of that.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's never
The
been a
first one.
movie about it, though, like a
Yeah.
fictional character movie.
There was the closest thing to it that time period was that Glory Road movie
Yes.
that was about, was it
Texas
Texas
Western.
Southern? Texas
Texas
Western.
Western, who beat Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah. And like
That
that
was
was,
2 years after the game of change.
yeah. It really is crazy. There hasn't been.
It's a great story. You're surprised somebody's never jumped on it, but that's got to be on the list of most shocking developments in Mississippi State history.
Even more wild, Brian, is this was not that long ago. I mean, it obviously was
62 years.
yeah, but it's not like this was in the 1800s.
What do you
This
think?
was in my parents were a lot were alive at the time.
Yeah.
It's really it's hard to fathom, but you look back, I mean, that civil rights era, we talk about it
That's a
it's
huge
the
event
Civil
that doesn't
War.
get
It's
enough.
not.
It doesn't get enough pub for whatever reason. So, all
Yeah.
right. Next on our list here, and I promise you, the social significance of the rest of these is much lower than that one. The rest
Yeah.
of these are more just Mississippi State stuff. We'll go with 1980. Mississippi State beats Alabama. Because again, you got to think about it in terms of this. This is 1980, right? This game's not televised. It's not, you know, there is no ESPN Plus, and everybody's watching it, and we're going to see on SportsCenter all the highlights and all that. Most of the nation just woke up on Sunday and read that Alabama had lost for the first time in 3 years,
Yeah.
and to Mississippi State, a team that had not beaten them since 1957, the two-time defending national champions. You know, I was 4 when this game was played. I don't have any memory of it. Robbie, were your parents married in 1980?
Yeah.
Okay.
They got married in like 75
Okay. So
or
there you go.
something. Yeah.
So, I mean, this game, though, there are still people today who weren't there that claim they were. It is, without question, in my opinion, I don't know if it's the most significant win in Mississippi State history. I don't even know that's the most significant win in Mississippi State football history. You and I did the countdown a couple years ago of the greatest games, and we had number one, the Auburn game in 2014. And then, in case you're wondering, that moment, that being number one's not going to be on the list because it wasn't shocking. Well, when State beat Auburn, we knew State was going to be number one. So
Yeah.
that's not a shocking moment. It may have been like difficult, like when you watched it, you were like, I can't believe it, but you knew it was coming. Nobody knew State was going to beat Alabama on this 1980 November day. That's got to be on the list.
It was the biggest win in school history for the first 125 years.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah.
And you know, probably the most historic win, just the game itself. State beating Auburn took them to number one, but the win itself, the opponent, is probably the biggest win of all time, just relative to the opponent you're playing. And
Yeah.
when you consider the fact that Alabama was on a what was it,
28 game
29
winning
game
streak.
winning streak,
Yeah.
they were the absolute program in college football. They had the greatest coach of all time. They had studs all across the lineup. And like you mentioned, Mississippi State had not beaten them in decades. That this is a bigger win than had Mississippi State been able to beat. This is an infinitely bigger win than had Mississippi State been able to beat Nick Saban
Yeah.
in 2017 or any of
Yeah,
those
yeah, yeah.
teams then. Just because of the fact that if State would have beaten Nick Saban during his tenure, it would have been, you know, within a 10 to 12 year period. This was several decades. This was
So,
Mississippi State could not, by any means, beat Alabama, and it was the biggest upset at the time in school history.
Alabama lost to USC on September 23rd, 1978. They did not lose again until November 1st, 1980, when they lost to Mississippi State. Coming into that game, Robbie, they were undefeated. They had given up double-digit points in 2 games out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So they were 6-0. Only twice had they given up double-digit points, and they didn't give up double-digit points in this game. They only gave up 6 points. But they came into the game, it looks like they were averaging close to 35 points a game, and somehow State held them to 3 points.
And
It's
then, and back
also
then, that's a lot of points.
historically significant because that's kind of the end for Bear Bryant, right? So you look at that 80 season, the next week they bounce back and beat LSU. Then they lose to Notre Dame. They beat Auburn, and they beat Baylor in the Cotton Bowl. They finished 10-2. The next year they lose 2 games. Including they lost to a 1-10 Georgia Tech team that year. They lose to Texas in the Cotton Bowl to finish 9-2-1. The next year they're 8-4, and Bryant's out of there. And then he's
Yeah.
dead a month after that. That game was the kind of the end of Bear Bryant's dynasty at Alabama. So that's going to make the list for us as far.
Imagine too, like you're a player and you know, coaching staff, whatever, and you're in the locker room, and I believe Bear Bryant came in the locker room
yes.
to congratulate the team.
Yes.
You know, back then, but now it's so much different.
Yeah.
We're overexposed to all these figures mm-hmm. in sports. And it was starting to grow a little bit. I mean, you could see Bear Bryant on TV and stuff. So mm-hmm. it wasn't like, you know, the 1800s whenever you see General Grant or something walk in. But it's still a legendary figure that you probably have not seen, like, up close like that ever before.
Maybe, like, two or three people on State's team had been recruited by Alabama. And would have Bear Bryant. I know John Bond did.
Yeah. So, like, that guy walking in, it's like an immortal figure walking in front of you, standing right there telling you, congratulations for beating me.
People will tell you that it was like meeting God. Like, that's the kind of gravitas that Bear Bryant had when he walked in. I mean, you think about it now. Let's just say next year State beats Georgia, right? Georgia's number one in the nation and State beats them. If Kirby Smart comes into State's locker room, that would be weird.
Yeah.
Be like, why would he do that? That would be like the first thing on First Take and everything. They'd be like, has Kirby Smart lost it? Why would he go in the opposing locker room? But Bear Bryant doing that, people were like, wow, Bear Bryant came and said congratulations. It is a different time. So we'll put that on our list. We'll put that on our list of most shocking developments. Let's do we got a women's basketball one. Let's do this one because I remember it so vividly. And this is definitely one that it came out of nowhere. And it was just one of those things that, like, you had no inkling that it was going to happen. And that is Vic Schaefer leaving Mississippi State in April of 2020 to go to the University of Texas. So Joel and I had recorded, it was Joel and I still, had recorded a podcast. I had, like, early on Sunday, put it up. And because, you know, this back is COVID's going on. So Joel couldn't, they weren't doing church, right? So Joel could, you know, Joel, super, he's going to church. You couldn't get Joel on Sunday until after church. But in this case, he's like, well, I don't have church, so we'll just record early. So he comes in and we do the podcast and I put it up. And then I'm just sitting around, you know, doing whatever on a COVID Sunday when the tweet, I forget who retweeted it into my timeline. I have never, and I guess it was kind of like these NBA reporters Saturday night staring at this tweet, trying to find out if it's real or not. I stared at Chris Delaconte's tweet for like 5 minutes. Just like, is this real? This can't be real. But it was. And Vic Schaefer, who, you know, I think we all thought the day might come where he would go back to Texas, but to Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I never in a million years thought he would go to the University of Texas, especially coming off of a good season. They had stated just, you know, been a good team that year, probably would have been deep into the tournament. He was bringing back a ton of players, including Rekia Jackson, who was going to be his true freshman the next year, that he his first real superstar that he had signed since Victoria Vivian's. And then he was just gone. And, I mean, I even to this day, I still think about that. I'm like, I was so shocked. And for me, you know, I covered women's basketball, but not like you did. I didn't have the relationship with Vic that you do. You had to have just been flabbergasted.
Yeah, it was absolutely shocking. I was watching a movie about Brandon Burlsworth, of all people.
Oh, yeah.
And was enjoying that with the family, just kind of sitting around, lounging around. Like, on Sundays, like, when I get done with church and the podcast and I'm settled, I want to be settled.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, didn't have the podcast then, and I don't think we had church either, but you know, that's just what I like to do on Sundays, is just relax in the latter part of the afternoon. That's what I was doing. I did the same thing, scrolling through Twitter. I can't remember who retweeted it initially. It might have been Vic. I can't remember. It might have been Blair. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at it. I see Vic Schaefer. I see the family. They're doing the horns. I'm like, wait, what? What? And it, like, I don't think it was like, it might have said, like, we got our guy or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's not good.
Yeah.
And the first person I called was John Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked up and it was just, we're excited about our future. We want people to want to be here, all that stuff.
It was a bunch of crap. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, I got a little bit of like, what are you looking for in the coach? And I was able to put that out, you know, and like a quick story on Vic leaving with a statement from John. And, you know, obviously John was not happy. He was very upset. He knew it was coming, but, you know, you could tell he was not happy. You knew when John wasn't happy.
Yes.
And then it was from there, immediately just try to throw together a hot board as quickly as I can. And like, if you've ever done one of those, if you work in our business, that takes a long time, you know, writing up why they're good, why this person's good for the job, why it makes sense, what they're making at the other place. And I just put together, you know, a list of people that I felt like was good, put it out there. And I was staring at my computer in some form or fashion for the next 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
I called Vic, no answer. He ended up getting back in touch with me at like 7 or 8 that night. And we had a good off the record conversation. Obviously he told me, you know, how it all went down, you know, the situation, all that stuff. And, it was shocking, man. Like it really was. That to me, whenever you brought this topic up, that was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just because, you know, some of these are wins, like games where they've won or whatever. The social media post coming up and you being shocked by development, that's what I thought of initially whenever you brought that topic up.
Yeah, that's a good call by you. The other side of this, if we were an Ole Miss podcast, would be Hugh Freeze getting fired, right?
Yes. I remember, so I forget, it was like Pat Forty or somebody said something big's about to happen with Hugh Freeze or something.
Yeah.
And so we were calling each other, texting each other.
Yeah.
What's about to happen?
Uh-huh.
And like, we're just sitting on Twitter waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, it dropped. And we had no idea that was coming, buddy.
I remember I drove over to campus. I was going to go for a walk around the lake at the Bryan building. And as I was getting out of my car, I'm looking at my phone like one last time before I start my walk. And it says he's been fired. And I just got back in the car, drove back home. Jennifer looks at me. She goes, what? I'm like, I'm going to be on the computer the rest of the night. You ain't got to worry about me.
And it was all
I
gold.
I didn't move, buddy.
It was all gold.
Yeah. But the Schaefer thing, I mean, and I remember people tweeting at me like, what is this? You made this up. That can't be real. I mean, nobody wanted to accept it.
Yeah.
It people went through the stages of anger pretty quickly. It went from denial to anger to acceptance in about 10 minutes. Real quick, before we move on, did you have Nikki McRae-Pinson on your first hot list? Remember?
It might not have been on my first one. It was on my second one the next day.
Yeah, she got out there pretty quick. So.
Almost like, because I put up the pot board of people that make sense. I think I actually had Sam Purcell on that one.
Oh,
on
that wow.
And I put that up, and then I started calling people. Mm-hmm. And then I came back with a 2.0 hot board. Nikki was like when I found out that night, she was going to be very high up on the list.
Yeah.
So she was one that I mentioned with Johnny Harris and maybe a couple others. I think Jeff Walls was thrown out there, but I never really bought that one.
Yeah.
But Nikki was definitely, if not on my first one, she was on there pretty quickly after.
Yeah. I will do one more, then we'll go to the break. We'll stay with women's basketball here. And you mentioned, you know, like, sometimes, you know, it's a game. And, you know, in a game, anybody can win and anybody can lose. You know, I know that. But State beating UConn in the Final Four is one of the most shocking results of all time. And, again, maybe Mississippi State fans, there were some who were like, we can do this, right? Mm-hmm. Nationally, that did not exist. Nobody thought UConn's 111-game winning streak was about to get snapped. But it did. And you were there. And so was Dak Prescott. And it remains an indelible image. I mean, this is one of those things. I always make fun of Ole Miss fans because they know that every March they're going to see Bryce Drew. Like, they can never escape it. They'll play that shot as long as there's an NCAA tournament. Morgan Williams is the same. Mississippi State fans will always get to see that shot in March. And so that's a moment that state that the country kind of shares with Mississippi State. That's one of the few times where Mississippi State did something that really captured the entire nation.
Yeah, and I'll say this, to me this was a more shocking win than state football beating Bama.
Yes. Oh, agreed. Agreed.
And the reason I say that is that what we see now in women's basketball is a whole lot more parity. It was not that way at that time. It was UConn and mostly everybody else, but every now and then there would be an elite up there. Baylor, you know, Texas A&M had a great team when Vic Schaefer was an assistant, and they won a national championship.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't parity in women's basketball at this time.
No, UConn, especially that time frame, was absolutely dominating women's college basketball, and it wasn't. They were just winning games. They were killing everyone.
Well, what was the score the year before when they played Mississippi State in the Sweet 16?
They lost by 60, I think.
Yeah.
They lost by 60.
Yeah.
And they, you know, Vic Schaefer never mentioned this to us, but I knew this happened. He had the score, or maybe the margin, written on the weight room walls from that game.
Mm-hmm.
This is who Vic Schaefer is. He has stacks of notes and box scores and things on every team.
Used to bring it into the press conference. Yes.
Yeah.
This thick. Yeah.
He was planning for UConn for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he'll admit that publicly or not, but he was planning for that possibility that far out. Their ultimate goal was to get back into that position to play UConn, because if you want to win a national championship during that time,
you're going to have to
go through UConn.
Yeah.
State did it. State was going to have to do it with Sharon Fanning when they went to the Sweet 16, but they came up short. But that game, no one thought Mississippi State was going to win. I remember going into it thinking, if you could just lose this thing by 15, that is a great step in the right direction. And State came out and punched them in the mouth, and they looked like they belonged the entire way. And it wasn't really until the final couple of minutes I felt like this could actually happen. And then it felt like State was going to get screwed. It really felt like UConn was getting every call. We saw the Katie Lou Samuelson thing where they get the technical and Dominique Dillingham. It felt like everybody was going to do what they could to make sure Mississippi State didn't win that thing. And I to this day believe that this game, Morgan Williams hitting that shot, changed women's college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I believe that is we don't see a whole lot of that anymore. You know, South Carolina is doing something similar. They went undefeated last year, and that's going to happen. But I don't know if you're going to see a team have a three-year stretch like UConn did and do what they did. I think that shot created single-handedly parity in women's college basketball that had not been there. Because if you were Tennessee and you were UConn in those years, you were lucky to be within 30 points of them most nights. I mean, it was total domination. And now we feel like on any given night when it gets into the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and the Final Four, anything can happen. And I'll tell you, the Final Four in women's college basketball, you know, if you're just objective about it, is extremely entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it for just what it is, for just team basketball and just the factor of, you know, a really good basketball game going back and forth. I mean, you're not going to see the dunks and all that. I understand that. But the Final Four every year delivers, and it really started, to me, that year with what we saw in that Final Four.
So, I mean, we talked about Alabama a little bit ago and how that was the end of their dynasty. So, you know, State beats UConn in that championship or that Final Four game. They mm-hmm. haven't won a national championship since. And have only played for one in 2022, yep. where they lost badly to South Carolina. Since so you look at it, so UConn, if you look at the previous 10 years, right? Going so 2007, right? UConn won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 10 national titles. So in the 10 year, in the 8 years since then, they haven't won any. So you're, I mean, you're right. You're
And
absolutely
I've
right.
said this too. You can argue that UConn, that run they made, was the greatest run by a single sports team, especially in college, in history. 111 ball games.
Yeah. I mean, what's the NC? What's the men's? It's 88, right? I think it's 88 with UCLA.
UCLA.
Correct.
I mean,
Yeah.
UCLA won how many champs? They won
They
seven,
won seven in like a 12-year span or something
but it
like that.
wasn't in a row.
No, because they had the Kareem years and they had the Walton years.
Yeah, so I mean, it's
It's something. Um,
that run by UConn was unbelievable, and for Mississippi State to be a part of history,
yeah.
I've got all my stuff over here from that Final Four. I look at it every day,
Yeah.
and like I
It's
felt
crazy.
blessed to be there because that's a part of history.
And like I said earlier, that's one where, from a national standpoint, everybody was just like not even just sports people, like pop culture people were like, "Holy cow, UConn lost, Mississippi State," but it was something. It really was something. So.
And what was really cool was inside the arena, like the whole place went nuts.
Oh
Like
yeah,
even some
everybody.
UConn fans were cheering.
Yeah.
Like it was surreal. Like there was a solid contingent of state people there just because Mississippi State had never been to a Final Four in women's basketball. It was in Dallas, so it wasn't very far. And there was a good bit of state fans there, but there were a lot of just casuals, and they went nuts. The arena was insane. The woman next to me, the famous picture of that woman next to me going absolutely nuts. She was just some national. I don't even know who she was. She had nothing to do with either school. So that was really cool to see.
All right, let's move into our final shocking moments. And that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. You'll never be shocked at Two Brothers if you listen to this podcast. You know you're going to get great food every time you walk in the door. Same with the older brother. Both of those in the Cotton District, two of Robbie and I's favorite restaurants in Starkville. If you say, "Hey, I'm taking you guys to lunch, where do you want to go?" Two Brothers, the older brother, probably going to be some of our first choices that we're always going to give you. It should be your first choice as well. When you want to have a great meal, just head to the Cotton District and get over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years. Was a good one. When you need technology for your
I even
business,
got the
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a
fava beans.
Chianti. 50. When you
So
need
now
tech,
I'm being compared to
a Hannibal
Hannibal
Lecter.
Lecter.
Yes,
Okay.
that's you. I'm going to get you the hockey mask and put you on the board and everything. It'll be great.
I'm gonna put someone's brain matter into a skillet and cook
Yeah,
it.
you're gonna cut my face off and wear it later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that Hey Dad? He's lost some weight. He's taller too. It's weird.
Man.
Well, I'm sure that Advantage Business Systems, when they signed their deal with us, didn't think that they'd be talking about somebody cutting off their face in the middle of their ad read. But here we are. So if you need technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, before the next surprising moment here in Starkville, make sure you got a trip to Maroon & Co. planned out. Nobody's got a bigger, better selection than Maroon & Co. They've got everything you're looking for, maroon and white. And we can save you some money when you go in there. So when you go check out that great selection, you make the purchase you want, save some money. Thunder 15 is our code. You can save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. That's available in-store or online. When you go to get Mississippi State gear in Starkville, there's only one place to go, and that's Maroon & Co. All right, let's do. We got two more ones that are kind of bad, and then we'll finish with the good one. We'll go back to football. I would, of all the thing, I don't want to relive losses, obviously, But Robbie, if we could have seen the kick that blew back in today's world in social media, the memes, the quality content that would have been produced, it's almost worth it. I would not say I'd want it to happen, but I'm just saying that maybe even I could be persuaded to laugh at some of those things. But that is a shocking moment when you realize that for the first time in the history of sports, God directly intervened in a game and picked against us, I'd like to add.
Yeah, that I mean, we've all seen the video, I'm sure, at this point.
It's the most incredible thing you'll ever watch in terms of field goal kicking.
Just absolutely improbable. I mean, I almost feel like they should have just been like, okay, it went through the counts. But I guess it's got to go this you got to go all the way through, but that's just I would literally just turn to dust. I would just wither away. It would be
Imagine us in the press box if that happened right
Avengers
now.
Endgame. Just God just snapped his fingers. It's time for me to go.
What would the post-game show that I do have been like after that? I don't know that I could have spoken.
It would be you just groaning and
I might have
wailing
renounced
in
organized
pain.
religion.
Like I would just have a microphone on me just wallowing around the floor in physical pain. It's very very similar to what's something that we've witnessed that's last year Reed Sheppard hitting that shot at the end
But
of the
that's
game to
buzzer
stop
beaters
the
happen. They go late shots, clutch shots, they
something that you
happen.
had nothing to, well I'll tell you what it reminds me of
Okay.
is the loss to Kentucky in 04. Because it was something that I felt like, it was just a freak.
I
It goes
agree.
off of Lawrence Roberts' hands and into a Kentucky player's hands, he lays it up. That was
It
freakish. I
was
mean,
freakish, but again, to me, last second shots happen all the time in college basketball. You're on the good side, you're on the bad side. Name another time that a field goal that is going to be good, the wind catches it and just dumps it right back onto the field line. It's never happened.
yeah,
That is the
it's.
most, again, this is another one where you're like, the reaction you have is maybe you watch the highlights that night on the local news. And you read the paper the next day, you don't have that instantaneous reaction. If that game was played in 2025 or 2024, I mean, we would never see the end of the memes. Never. So.
Luckily, Ole Miss had something similar happen recently. That maybe not it wasn't caused by God, but and
Within 25?
no the Elijah Moore hiking his leg turning into a missed
That was
extra
the
point.
devil. The devil got into his head.
Are you sure that was the devil? Maybe that was God saying,
That might
hey,
have been God giving us one
we're gonna
back
even
there.
the odds here.
Yeah.
They've had a
Ole
devastating
Miss is.
loss. You've had
So
a
we've got
devastating loss.
three
Now
Ole
I'm gonna
Miss
have this.
things that we've got on this countdown. We've got Freeze getting fired. We've got Elijah Moore hiking his leg, has got to be on there. And then it's got to be 4th and 25, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's three for them right there. I don't know enough about them for baseball and basketball to put one on there, but
Well, the
gosh.
most shocking thing for baseball would be the national championship run. It's not like a it
Yeah.
would
But I mean, that's not a moment. That was a week's worth of stuff. And, I knew once they got out of Miami, they were going to win it. Like they're going to Hattiesburg for the Super Regional. I was like, okay.
it set up perfectly for them.
Yeah,
Like,
it did.
and they played teams that couldn't hit in
Yeah,
the That was crazy.
All right. We'll go to baseball. For our last two, we'll start with the negative one. But it's got to be Andy Canizero getting fired and everything that happened around that. Now, some of that we really can't delve too deeply into, but we've all heard the stories that of why and what happened and everything else. But this was a guy that John Cohen handpicked to be the future of Mississippi State baseball. The first year was incredibly promising, in my opinion, because that team had no business being in a super regional. They had like six pitchers total. Jake Mangum started games as a pitcher in SEC play for that team because they were so depleted. and he got him to the Super Regional. He was recruiting like a madman. You're like, this is the guy who's going to win the national championship. They finally got him. This is the guy. And he threw it all away and got fired after he goes down to Hattiesburg to start the season, gets swept. And then Monday you were hearing like rumblings, like maybe there were a few like something's not right over there. I remember we had a media opportunity where we were supposed to meet with Cannizzaro and then go meet Morehead's new coaching staff. Like that was the first time we were going to get to talk to like Huff and Marcus Johnson and all those guys. I didn't go to Cannizzaro. I went straight to football, and they were like, we're just going to wait for everybody to show up. And y'all were like 30 minutes late, and y'all were like, hey, Cannizzaro was late. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And it was, he was in there trying to convince John Cohen not to fire him.
Yeah,
we talked
to him that day, didn't we?
Yes, y'all talked to him.
I remember that was one of my things. I was like, they wouldn't have let us talk to him.
That's what, yeah. And then about 5 or 6 o'clock, again, this is another one where the podcast had been done. It was a B&B show at the time, and I had to completely redo it because I want to say Brandon Walker and I had done that podcast together, and I had to go and like completely redo it. Because they fired him at like 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it was crazy. The whole day we're hearing it. I went to Hattiesburg that weekend, and you know, it was just kind of like a cluster the whole weekend. The team played horribly. You know, that they weren't very organized during the week. They didn't really seem locked in either. And we come to find out, you know, a lot of them were kind of upset with Andy. And the way that ended, it was just I still can't even wrap my mind around it. This is a guy that we went to Baton Rouge for the Super Regional. I remember sitting in the press conference after State lost in Baton Rouge. You know, State had made a great run that year, and it was a year where they didn't have the pitching. They had 7 or 8 guys they could count on, and those 7 or 8 weren't just, you know, setting the world on fire because they had all those arm injuries, and they played, you know, out of their mind that year. Jake Mangum was hurt in the latter part of the year. Before that, he was pitching. Brent Rooker had a triple crown season. They just, you know, it was just one of those, like, they just gutted it out and made it to a Super Regional, and you're sitting there thinking, what's going to happen when this dude gets his guys in? Because he was already starting to really make some waves in recruiting, and he absolutely just ate it up, man. Like recruiting, he went nuts. And this whole deal happened, and his world came crashing down, and you're sitting there thinking, what is this team about to do? Because they didn't have the team, you know, you didn't think they had a team to make a run that year, but they just rallied around everything and made that run that they did. And I know we're going to talk about, you know, one of those situations.
That's the same year. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. Yeah.
But yeah, Andy just like, he was a guy that I got pretty close with when he was here and was great to work with, as good as anybody to work with, had great personality, was a baseball guy, and he was recruiting his butt off, and he had this stadium coming. He was here at the perfect time for Mississippi State and for his career, and he blew it. There's no other way around it. He just blew it, and I'm sure to this day he still thinks about it.
Yeah, there's no way he doesn't. I mean, never mind just from a financial standpoint, everything he threw away. I mean, he threw away his legacy. He would have won at least – I think he might have won 2 national titles. I think he might have won in 19. And I don't know.
I've wondered what he would look like as a program guy, like long term. Like recruiting wise, he'd be great.
Yeah.
But
could he have matured a little? I think he could have, though. I think he would have. I don't know. But that leads to our final one. And again, you know, walk off home runs happen, upsets happen. But the walk off by Elijah McNamee is one of the most improbable ones you'll ever see. And in terms of just pure shock value, when that ball came off of his bat, I mean, I could not believe State had won that game. They had been dominated the day before against Oklahoma, and then Parrish had come out and just owned them. You have the rain delay, and then you have the crazy – part of the shock is the crazy decision by Mike Martin to put a guy who'd thrown 120 pitches back out after a, what, like an hour and a half long rain delay or whatever it was. And he just serves up that changeup to Elijah McNamee, and it goes out. To me, from a wins and losses standpoint, I've never been more surprised, I don't think. In 1980, Alabama, the UConn game – because even like, throughout the course of the UConn game, there were moments where you're like, State could win this. You know, they led most of the game. This was one where State was dead in the water, and they rose up from the dead to win.
Yeah, I mean, you have, like, you just could not figure him out.
Yeah.
And I think it was Hunter Stovall got on base like a walk or something.
Yes.
And even then, you in baseball, you go through your mind. Okay, if they can get a double right here, they get to the next guy or whatever. Like, there's been times where guys have come up. I thought when Connor Hyzak came up against Ole Miss, I thought he could end the game at any point here. But State could not figure this guy out, and I'm sitting there typing my story with Joel. Joel and I are getting ready to go back home. We're going to drive back home from Tallahassee that night. And we've got our stories written. We were actually, like, mad they went to a rain delay because we thought we'd get out of there quicker. We had no faith that Mississippi State was going to win that game.
Right.
And I remember it was like slow motion, man. Like, you know, like when you're at the ballpark.
Yeah.
Especially when you're at the park and you can kind of see the whole at bat develop. When somebody hits a baseball at a baseball game and you kind of see the force behind the baseball, you know it's going out.
Yeah.
You see the carry behind it. You see
you
the
can tell
height
most,
on it.
Most
you
times
can look
you,
at
can,
the, you yeah. can look at the outfielder and see that they're jogging. I remember watching that ball just float. And while it's in the air, I remember when it hit my eyes, I remember looking at Joel and I was like, holy crap, that's gone. And I think it hit the scoreboard and
it
left.
Did. Yeah.
And
you know, the outfielder jogging, that guy didn't move.
We were stunned.
Yeah.
And when that game ended, I thought, this team's pretty special.
Yeah.
And I remember at that, and then with the super regional, Joel and I just having conversations in the hotel room, like, you might have to hire Gary Henderson.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he would have gotten that team, if he would have gotten one win against Oregon State and got the national championship,
I think he'd have been the coach.
He might have been the head coach.
Yeah.
So that was a crazy, crazy day.
That, to me, I mean, of all the walk-off wins in Mississippi State history, that's the one that strikes me. Of at the moment that it happened, my faith that State could win the game was at its lowest.
Yeah.
In the UConn game, State's got the ball with the final possession with Morgan William and Victoria Vivians and Dominic Dillingham. I think they can get the shot off and win the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in that moment, I was like, no chance. And I think I asked McNamee this, and I don't remember his answer, but if Parrish throws a fast – because McNamee has said he was looking for the changeup. If Parrish throws a fastball there, he strikes out.
Probably.
So it's just an unbelievable confluence of events. All right. This was a fun show. I enjoyed it. You know, sometimes, you know, we got no midweek basketball this week. Baseball's not started up. No recruiting news. This was a timely and topical thing. Let's just do it. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please tweet at me and Robbie if we left something out, something you remember that was a surprising, shocking moment. We'd love to talk about it. Tomorrow's show is The Rumblings. Get your questions in to us now, and we'll be happy to answer them for you on tomorrow's show. Have a great Tuesday, guys. Back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's on me now.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.